That was enlightening. Been a long time. Before I go any further, Brother Wallace pulled me over. You always talking about how long you and George been knowing each other. I said, we've been knowing each other longer than George, you and I. I said, you're right, Wallace. I met you before I met George. So, this old Cutler family, I think I've met most of them by now, but nice people.
Amen.
Father, thank you. Help us now as we go into your word. Strengthen us. Strengthen the messenger and the message. Touch everybody here individually and collectively. Touch the pastoral staff. And touch our pastor who loves the word so and is committed to giving us this gospel of grace. We love him and we pray that you will continue to bless him in his recovery. And we pray that he will get stronger and next year it'll be even more that he will be able to give us according to your will.
Yes, Lord.
In the wonderful, precious name of Jesus we pray.
Amen.
I guess the Holy Spirit has me ready to start, but if not, we're here, and our reader today is who? Ella Liverman? Okay, all right. We had a wonderful Bible class Friday. Get a chance, come out on Friday night. You would do yourself a lot of good by coming out on Friday. We just had a great, marvelous time here. And I just really felt good. From the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 4, and we're going to go to the 5th, 6th, and 7th verses. No, I'm sorry, 6th, 7th, and 8th verses. And I want to have Elder Liverman start that. Please read that for me, please, in the Greek text. Well, yeah, in the Greek text.
Second Timothy chapter 4.
Right.
Beginning with the 5th verse?
6th, 7th, 8th.
Okay, 6th, okay. Again, 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning with the 6th verse. For I already am being poured out, and the time of the departure of me has arrived. Verse 7. The good struggle I have struggled, the course I have finished, the faith I have kept. For the rest, there is laid up for me the of righteousness crown, which will render to me the Lord in that day, the righteous judge. But not only and to me, but also to all the ones having loved the appearance of him.
Thank you. The focus scripture today is from the, I'm going to read it from the King James Version here. verse 7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. The Apostle Paul writes to his beloved son Timothy in the ministry, a pastoral epistle. He makes a note, significant fact, that he has finished his course. Well, what did Paul mean by finishing his course? Was he talking about something that he took at school at Tarsus, where he was at, and under Gamaliel? Or was he talking about something that was pertaining to his heavenly call? We want to take a look at this scripture and many other scriptures to bring all of it into perspective. When we look at the early life of the Apostle Paul, the Bible lets us know that he was born in Tarsus. He was a Roman citizen, and he spoke at least two languages, Hebrew and Greek, probably some others. He sat at the feet of Gamaliel, and he was taught in the perfect manner of the law of the fathers. Paul states in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 5 that he was circumcised the eighth day, of stock of Israel, tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew of the Hebrews. Paul begins by telling us that these were some of the things that is indicative of his background. And we look at him here, says that he was very zealous. And Philippians chapter 3 and verse 6 said he was persecuting the church, touching of righteousness, of the law blameless. He was a sincere Pharisee. But, you know, sometimes you can be sincere about things and be sincerely wrong.
All right.
And when we look here at the Apostle Paul, at this part of the course that Paul is on, it looks like he has a well-defined course that he's into and where he's going. Many of us, from time to time, we have the plans and we make the plans, and it looks like everything that we want to do looks like it's on course. And the Apostle Paul here is really echoing what many, all of us go through. We have plans. We have a designation that we plan to be at a certain time. But it doesn't always work that way. Our plans are subject to God's plans. And God's plans are going to be carried out whether we like it or not. And your plan really doesn't mean a thing, because God is going to do what he has to do and what he decreed from eternity.
Amen.
So it doesn't matter what you have planned. It's nice to have plans, and you hope that they're in the will of God, and you are praying that things go right, that you have this and that, but it doesn't always work that way. And we're going to take a look here, a hard look, at some of the things that the Apostle Paul was really, at this point, part of the course of Paul's life, it shapes up as follows. He was a proud man.
Oh, yeah.
I would like for Elder Liverman to read and go to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 4. And I'd like for him to read Philippians chapter 3, verse 4. And we're going to go to Philippians 3 and 6. And we're going to take a look at that.
Philippians?
Yeah.
Philippians chapter 3, beginning with the fourth verse.
Well, before we go into that, let's have a small, tiny bit of background. The Apostle Paul was a Pharisee, and there was a new encroachment by Jesus Christ and the faith of Christ, and the Hebrew law was shaken to its core. And the new religion was called the Way. And Paul didn't necessarily like the Way, because the Way got into his way, and he didn't like that. So what we have here is that Paul in Philippians here starts to tell about some of the things that about himself. Go ahead, Elder.
Philippians chapter 3, fourth verse. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh.
Okay, go ahead.
If any other man thinketh that he hath the world worth, he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless.
Mm-hmm.
But what things were gained to me, those I count loss for Christ.
Amen. So what we have is we have a proud man, Philippians chapter 3 and verse 4. We have a self-righteous man in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 6. And we have an educated man. And we go to that in the book of Acts chapter 22 and verse 3. And I want you to go over there because I'm going to try to tie these together here. Elder, go over there for me, please. Acts 22 and 3.
Acts chapter 22, beginning with the third verse. I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city of Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught
Amen.
According to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye all are this day.
Amen. Amen. So what do we have here? We have here that he is a proud man, Philippians 3 and 4. He was a righteous man in 3 and 6, and he was an educated man. All of the qualities for failure. Hello? All of the qualities for failure. When you're proud, self-righteous, and you got your education behind you, all of the qualifications for failure. Paul didn't realize that he was on the road to failure, was a failure, until that day. And his life changed forever. So we're going to see here. So Paul's mission was to destroy the church. He was an accomplice when Stephen was killed in Acts chapter 7 and verse 58. And in Acts chapter 8 and verse 1, and his role was to destroy the church. Paul was getting make the members of the church do? And this is something that I want you, from here on, I want you to really think about. We go into the message as we go into the next phase. What exactly did Paul make the members of the church do? Well, in Acts, and I want you to turn to that for me, please, Elder. In Acts chapter 26, verse 8 through 12, in the Greek, okay? Let's take a look at that.
Acts chapter 26. Beginning with the 8th verse. Why incredible is it judged by you if God dead person raises? I indeed then brought to myself to the name of Jesus the Nazarene ought many things contrary to do. Verse 10, which indeed I did in Jerusalem.
Amen.
And many of the saints I in prisons.
Amen.
Shut up.
Now, so what did he do? He says what? To many of the saints, okay? Many of the saints, which what? Indeed, I did what? In Jerusalem, what? And many of the saints, what? Go ahead, Ella.
And many of the saints, I in prison, shut up.
Amen.
From the chief priests.
Amen.
Authorities have received.
Amen.
Being killed.
Amen.
And they were killed.
Amen.
Then I cast a vote.
Amen.
And through all the synagogues, often punishing them, I compelled them to blaspheme, and excessively raging against them, I persecuted as far as even to the outside cities.
Okay, let's go back here and take a look at that. Okay, he says what he did in Jerusalem. It was a hot time for Christians when Paul was around, as he was Saul at this time. It was a hot time. And what he did was, what did he do? Many of the saints, what he did, he put them in prison. Well, you said, well, how in the world could this man, why would God let something like this go on? Why would he let this man come in and do that? And it's God's will that it be done. That's what it was. Yeah, that's why he did it. And because he wasn't, Paul did it because he didn't realize it, but it was God's will for it to be done. Amen. So what does he say there? Go ahead there. So we take a look at it again here. Where are we at, Ella? Verse 26 and what? Where are we at now?
We were at
4? 10. Okay. So he said what? Many of the saints I put in prison. Shut up from what? The chief priests. Okay. Authority. Okay. Being killed. And then it says what under the footnote there? And when they were killed.
Yeah.
Not only did he, we look at Stephen and he said, well, he was an accomplice there, but the Apostle Paul was killing folks.
Uh-huh.
In the name of righteousness,
yeah.
what he felt was right.
Yeah.
Amen. And so he says what? Them I cast a vote. And throughout all the synagogues, okay, often punishing them, I compel them to blaspheme. Which brings us to another point. You don't know what you will do when you're under extreme pressure from the authorities that hate your religion or hate you.
Right.
You have no idea what you will do. A lot of us say, well, you'll never see me doing anything like that. When the heat gets on, honey, you don't know what you'll do. These people were under extreme pressure from the Apostle Paul, and he didn't care anything about them loving Jesus or anything. He was determined to destroy the church. And whatever means he got for him to do it, he was going to do it. He didn't care. Okay? So what we see here, he says that what? That often punishing them, I compel them to blaspheme and excessively raging against them. I persecuted as even to make outside of cities. He didn't care where he went. He was determined to wipe out the way. And so what we have here is that Paul is going, doing what he's doing. And now we look at Paul, he's at the top of his game. Because what he's doing at, he's doing what he feels is right. And he's going to destroy this movement that's coming along right now.
Amen.
You have to, now he made them do all of these different things. Mm-hmm. And here we are. So in Galatians now, if he's, now he's prompting from this, and in the book of Galatians chapter 1 and verse 13, he says he profited in the Jews' religion. Mm-hmm. Whatever thing he was going to do right now, he was at the top of his game, and he was determined to wipe this out. But he was going on the road to Damascus one day, and then the big change comes. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 40, and I want to stop here and say this, what everything, the Bible says, let everything be done decently and in order. He deals with Paul here as a Hebrew here, and as a Hebrew, God dealt with him as a Hebrew here, because the Bible tells us what? In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 22, that the Jews require a sign. This wasn't going to be anything where somebody speak to him in some little flowery manner. He's going to knock him off his beast. He's going to make him blind for 3 days because he's a Jew and he has to have a sign. Paul has to be knocked down and taken everything away from him to see who he is. And that's what God has to do to a lot of us.
Amen.
He has to do that to a lot of us.
Amen.
We start to ride high. We think that we're really going places and doing things. And then God has to bring us down. And if he has to take everything from us, he'll do it. If he has to take all of our health, take all of our wealth and everything else, whatever's his will in eternity, that's what he'll do.
Amen.
Amen. So what we have here is that Paul himself becomes a minister of Christ.
Yes.
Paul's response was typical of all of us. The first thing that happened when it had happened, what must I do? This was Paul's response. What must I do? Well, the thing that Paul should have said, well, let me get out the way and see what you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Am I in the right church here? Because we all want to do something ourselves. We it's this synergism that's part of us that we got to do something ourselves.
Uh-huh.
And he didn't need anything but Paul was to do for him as far as him trying to bring his graces into what his alignment. Paul had to get out the way and let the grace of God get in him to show him what he had to do.
That's it.
Amen. Amen. What must I do? Paul's mission from now on, Jesus takes him on a desert for 3 years. And on those 3 years, he learns the grace of God. Oh, you don't hear me. He learns the grace of God from Jesus Christ himself. Would to God that we could sit down and let somebody teach us the grace of God. We got all kinds of isms and schisms and everything going here, but if we could just sit down and get the grace of God. He put Paul into a position where you're going to learn this thing because I've got plans for you. And you're not a part of the plan except to give the message of grace. You don't hear me. That's what his plan was for him. Just get the message of grace that what? The Gentiles might be blessed. Amen. So he says here, he was out there for 3 days. And he was doing all of the work.
Yeah.
Christ was doing all of the work and bringing it out for him. And so Paul here, we see here that the mission, Jesus' mission for Paul was to be to a chosen vessel for Jesus Christ. And his message was to give the word of God to the Gentiles. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 15, read that for me, Elder.
Acts chapter 9
and verse 15.
Hallelujah. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me.
Amen.
To bear my name before the Gentiles.
Amen.
And kings.
Amen.
And the children of Israel.
Amen.
For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's
sake. Amen. Instead of being a victor of destroying churches, now he's got to suffer for Jesus. Amen. But you know something?
Hallelujah.
The Apostle Paul, this is where I say he became the epitome of what we ought to be striving for. It's not how much we have in this life. Last Friday night, we were talking in Bible class, and we were talking about all of these things people get caught up with. And in the end, you're going to leave them all here. Amen? There is nothing permanent in this life. Did you hear me? There is nothing permanent in this life. Amen. So what happens with the Apostle Paul here? We see now he was a man who was in with the Pharisees, but now he's out. And we see that he was a man who thought that he was right, but he was wrong. And then we see from going to being in, he's out. And then he's what? Stoned at Lystra. Not only that, he was whipped, stoned, thrown around and everything. Everything that he did not want to happen, happened to him. But it was for the grace of God. Amen. And Paul now begins to see what the other side is. Amen. Now he's preaching grace and not law. And he becomes very zealous of grace. And he tells those Philippians, those Galatians, over in chapter 1 and verse 6 through 9. Let's take a look at that, Elder. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 through 9.
Galatians chapter 1, amen, verse 6. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that call you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel.
Okay. Ella, read that from the Greek for me, please. Okay. I'm sorry.
Galatians
Side note, I bought my wife one of those Greek Bibles, and I told her, I said, don't you lose this Bible. If you lose this Bible, I'm going to get a divorce from you. This thing cost me some money. Okay. Okay, go ahead.
Galatians chapter 6.
Okay, chapter 1 and verse 6.
Galatians chapter 1. Verse 6.
Well, we got time. Don't worry about it. Go ahead.
Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. I wonder that thus quickly you are removing from the one having called you.
Amen. Why are you? It didn't take long for you to, you got the message. You were willing to what? Give part of your body for me, your eyes for me, and all of the things that you wanted to do for me. And then just as soon as I leave, then you change just like what? No time at all. And we were talking in the imperfecting class about Charles Finn. He'd go out and he'd preach, and he was wondering why didn't he come back, and people had changed all together. But you know something? Paul said, why in the world, I wonder, it's a wonder to me, why would you do this? It's amazing what people will do as far as the grace of God is concerned. It's just in their system. It's something that they got to do. Go ahead, Elder.
I wonder that thus quickly you are removing from the one that haven't called you by the grace of Christ to another gospel.
Another gospel. What they were doing was they were going back to law, but it was a kingdom law. Mm-hmm. And what they were doing was they, nothing wrong with it, but it was for the Jews.
Right. Amen.
It wasn't for them. And now we got churches all over America today that's preaching kingdom law. That is not your gospel.
Right.
Your gospel is the grace of God given to the Apostle Paul for us.
Yes.
Nothing wrong with the kingdom message except for us another time and another place.
Amen.
All of God's word is good. But that's not for you.
Amen.
You getting up and as Elder Cut was telling the man in the restaurant, you preaching that and your people are thoroughly confused. They're thoroughly confused. Go ahead, Ella.
Amen. Hallelujah. Which not is another, only some there are troubling you and wishing to pervert the gospel of Christ.
That's a perversion of the gospel of Christ. Grace is grace. Law is law. As Elder pointed out last week, look, this is not what we are under here. We are under grace, and the grace of God must be preached. And grace is going to be preached whether we like it or not. Did you hear me? Grace is going to go on whether we try to preach it or not. Because we're in this dispensation that Paul was given to by Christ. And that's not over with yet. And grace is going to be grace whether we like it or not.
That's it.
Amen. So he went from whipping folks to being whipped.
Right.
Hello? He got a lot of good whippings. Amen. Let's take a look at, he says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 20, well, before we go there, he went from having a lot of money to going, and he went from there to being in poverty. Hello? That's why those naming and claiming people don't go and talk about Paul, because when you get in there and you start talking about Paul and see what the situation is, then you see that Paul talks a lot about being broke and no money. Amen. He talks about being sick and ill and all of the things that we don't want to encounter in our lives. Amen. And but what they do is they take something that doesn't belong to us, and they're going to put us under kingdom law and say, if you do this and do that, you're going to get this and this back. Well, we're not in a position to barter with God at all. Get that mess out of your system and get into the grace of God, because that's what God has us under. You talk about the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy. I don't want to be under that. And I'm not going to be under that. Oh, yes, there's a lot of blessings and everything. But I'm looking at the curses.
Oh, yeah.
And I know that this flesh of mine can't keep off all of the things that they say. I don't know about you, but I know I can. Amen. All right, good. So let's take a look here at 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 10.
2 Corinthians chapter 6.
2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 10.
Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 10. As being grieved always, but rejoicing as poor many.
did you see that? You see, read that again, Ella. Being what?
As
grieved always, but rejoicing. No matter, Paul says, no matter what state that I'm in. And this is not, this is what the flesh can't comprehend. But what he was trying to do is take you to another level. That's why you need to be in the Word and studying your Word. And so you can get beyond these things of what the people are telling you. Get into the grace of God here. Paul's saying, look, I'm grieved, but you know what? I'm rejoicing. Go ahead, Elder.
Amen. As poor men, but enriching, as nothing, having, and all things possessing.
Amen. I'm poor as far as material things are concerned, but I'm rich in the blessings that God has planned for me throughout all eternity. That's what you got to stop and think about.
Yeah.
It's all this stuff out here, what you got to have right now, don't mean a hill of beans. But it's what we say, it says, set your affections on things above and not on things of this earth. You're looking at all of this stuff, you got to have this, you got to have that. You don't need all of this. All you need is Jesus. And once you got Jesus, you got enough. Amen? All right. It's awfully quiet in here this morning. Go ahead. Go 2 Corinthians chapter 11. My wife made the statement this morning. She said, Grace Gospel Church, you got to have a notebook. You got to have a briefcase to go to that church. They got so much information they'll give out to you. And that's where it should be. Church should be a learning ground.
That's right.
Amen?
Yes, amen.
The Bible says, study to show thyself an approved workman for God. Cutting straight the Word of God. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, where are we at now? 11:23? 11:23. Amen.
Amen.
He went from whipping to being whipped. Go ahead.
23. Ministers of Christ, are they being out of mind I speak, beyond I, in labors more abundantly, in prisons more abundantly.
Amen.
In stripes excessively.
Stop right there, Elder. I don't know if it's true or not, but tradition says that when Paul went into a town, the first place he went to was the prison. Because he knew that's where he was going to be. Now, I don't know this, so it's not in scripture anything, but tradition has said that first place he went to was the prison. So check it out, because that's near where he would be. Hey, go ahead, Elder.
Hallelujah. In prisons more abundantly, in stripes excessively, in death.
Stripes excessively. And when anybody who saw the passion, how those people whipped those people and how they whipped Jesus, they whipped Paul even more, because what they were doing was he was shaking their foundation. And anytime you start to deal with people's foundation, they're going to whip you a lot harder than anybody else. Paul was beaten with many, many stripes.
Amen.
Amen. Go ahead.
Yes. Many stripes. Deaths many times. By Jews.
Excessively.
In deaths many times.
Amen.
By Jews, 5 times 40 stripes.
5 times 40 stripes. And they weren't one of these little, with a little switch or something like that. Down south, you know, we grew up and say, go get your switch. Well, they got the switch for him. And what they did was they beat him. Amen. 5 times. Go ahead, Elder.
5 times 40 stripes, less one I receive.
Amen.
Thrice I was beaten with rods.
Amen.
Once I was stoned.
Amen.
Thrice I was shipwrecked.
Amen.
A night and day in the deep.
Amen. Paul tells about, you got to, what Paul was referring to, a lot of these ministers came around and they would do all of this stuff and all of this talking and everything, and Paul had to share what I've gone through. But Paul was letting them know what he had gone through. If you're going to boast about something, why don't you boast about the persecutions that you've gone, what I've gone through? Why don't you show me what you have gone through for the sake of the gospel? Because some people preach it for strife, some preach it for envy, but Christ, with what Paul was preaching for, the grace of God, and he paid for it. Amen? Amen. Oh, man. He went from being revered to castigated. He was totally pushed around, and if they were to kill him, one time they had a plot out. They was not going to stop eating until they killed the Apostle Paul. And his nephew made it aware to Paul what the situation was. They were determined to get him, but it wasn't in God's will for him to go at that time. This is all about God's will.
Amen.
It's all about God's will. Amen. And whatever's played out in Scripture is because of God's will. Amen. Do you hear me? Whatever's played out in our life, it's because of God's will. Whatever you're going through, because it's God's will. It doesn't matter what you think or how you feel, whatever God's will is going to be carried out. Because he has an ultimate purpose for doing that. Amen? Paul went from being high-minded to being very humble. You see, when you go through the fire like Paul did, that'll make you humble. And you know, when your toys are taken away from you, and all of the things that you think that you need are taken away from you, and you get very humble very fast. Paul went through that. Amen. And it looks like the more he takes from us and the farther down we go, that's when we can really see what the grace of God is all about. When you got a pocket full of money and your health is good and everything is going right, God is not even in the picture. But when everything goes down and you don't have anything left, then That's when you see the real person that God wants. Corroboration. Job had everything that you could want. And if you notice that when that account came about Job, that it was God who brought up Job's name first. Satan said, "Well, you know, you got a barrier around him, and he's not serving you for nothing. You let me get to him, he'll curse you." And then what God did was took the barrier down, and Job lost 7 sons, 3 daughters, bodies racked with sores, and everything. And I like what Job said. "Naked came I into the world. Naked shall I return." You come here with nothing, you're going to leave with nothing.
Amen.
The human nature, the human being, is the only one that is on 4 feet at one time. I mean, he walks on 4 at one time, 2 at one time, and 3 in the end. He crawls as a baby. He walks as a man. But when he gets old, he's full of stupor, and he has a cane to carry him around. 4, 2, 1. And that's how all of us are. And whether we like it or not, we're all coming to that one day. You can take care of the best of yourself, make the best care of yourself, and I really believe that. But you know something, this old body is going to break down one day.
Yes.
And I don't care how much you have exercised.
I'm preaching.
I don't care how much vitamins you take.
Preaching.
The Bible says it is appointed to man once to die, and after that, the judgment. What we see here is that Paul went through all of these things. Then we go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and we see here 12 and 1, and I'm going to go to the King. Well, we're going to go here to the Greek, chapter 12 and verse 1, 2, 3, and the other. Would you read that for me, please?
Second Corinthians chapter 12. Begin with the first when it's in Greek.
Okay.
Okay. Begin with the first verse. To boast it behoves not expedient indeed.
Amen.
So I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord.
Amen.
I know a man in Christ before years 14, whether in the body, I know not, or outside the body, I know not. God knows. Caught such one to the very heavens, and I know such a man, whether in the body or spirit from the body, I know not. God knows. That he was caught into the paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not permissible for a man to speak on behalf of.
Amen.
Such a one I will boast, but on behalf of myself, I will not boast except in my weaknesses.
Amen.
But if I shall wish to boast, I shall not be foolish. Truthful, I will speak. But I spare, lest anyone to me reckon beyond what he sees me or hears of me.
Amen. Paul lets them know here, you're going to be doing all this boasting and everything, but I can tell you one, I've got one on you. I was caught up into the third heaven. And the things that I saw there, I can't speak about it. I think when Paul was caught up into the third heaven, and as my pastor has said, he think he saw the church. And I think that he saw the church, and I think he saw a lot more than that. But after that, it was all downhill for the Apostle Paul. Do you hear what I'm saying? Once he saw that, and he had to face Nero's chopping block coming to the end, I think Paul got the best sleep he ever had in his life. He was going to a better place. And that's what we have to all come and think about, because what did this change of course of Paul's life do? Well, first of all, the mystery of the church and the relationship with God and the Gentiles was forever changed. Mm-hmm. Paul was given a whole dispensation of the grace of God.
Yes, he was.
And what he did was he had to go and he went on these missionary journeys expounding the grace of God.
Yes.
That the Gentiles had now fellow heirs, and they have a place of their own. And it's not just Gentiles, but Jews and Gentiles, and that comprised the church. And he, what he had was is that the Gentiles are now in the family of God by one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. Amen. We became Christ's body.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Because of the faithfulness of Christ.
Amen.
And what he gives us is he gives us new guidelines and directions because of what he's established in eternity and manifested in time. And it goes like this. We are redeemed by Jesus Christ.
Yes, we
are reconciled by Jesus Christ. We have imputation because of Jesus Christ. And we have what? Justification, which is a legal term, because of Jesus Christ. And sanctification because of Jesus Christ. And glorification at the end. Jesus Christ has given us all of this, and we have it now. It just hasn't been manifested. My God, my God, my God. Why are we going around doing all of these things and knocking ourselves out about nothing? Amen. We get caught up in all of this stuff about in the doctrinal conference. One of the things that he had in there was about these fairy tales. And Elder Cutler said, the problem is that they live happily ever after. You don't live happily ever after on this earth. And I want to take a step further than what he said was, let's take Sleeping Beauty. And she was, what, sleeping for so long, and she was so beautiful. Mm-hmm. And he kissed her, and she, what, came, and they lived. But as soon as he got her to the palace, and she was quiet, the minute she opened her mouth, after sleeping all of those years, she had a bad case of halitosis.
Amen.
The relationship was gone, and they didn't live ever after because her breath smelled for the rest of her life. That's realism. Do you hear me? That's realism. And whatever we say about soap operas, they do tell us the truth. There is no sustained happiness in this life. Every time you look up, something has happened, and you'll never have sustained happiness. It's only in Jesus that you have sustained happiness. That's the only way that you can have sustained happiness. Because if you put it in this life, you're going to go up and down, round about, and everything else.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen?
Amen.
The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord who are called according to his purpose. Whatever you're going through, whatever you've been through, it was for God's glory to give it to you, and you're going through it.
That's it.
And that's what it is, whether we like it or not. I get so tired of people saying there's got to be this way or that way. There's no place in the grace covenant where it tells us it's going to be that way or this way. If it is, then show me, because I don't see it. Amen?
Amen.
God's will in your life will be done. And it's going to be done, whether you like it or not. Everybody's course is different. And that's what I want to stress to you right now. Ella Cutler's course is different than my course. Mine is different than Elder Liverman. Mine is different than Deacon Gavin. He's seen many things that I haven't seen, and I've seen many things that he hasn't seen. I have had opportunities where if the things were right, I would be worth a lot of money right now. But it wasn't God's will for me to have it to go right and have all of that money. I've been in contact with folks who made a lot of money and seen a lot of money. But it wasn't God's will to bring me into that situation. And everybody's plan for God's plan, everybody's course is different. And we need to keep that in mind. Don't sit up here moping about the fact of what you're going through. Because there are a lot of people who are going through a lot worse than what you're going through. But it's by the grace of God, he doesn't care about what you think. This is a theocracy that he's dealing with. And it's not a democracy about what you think you should have. Amen. Another thing that you need to stop and think about, because somebody is over in India and he's living in the mud and the dirt and everything, and you are blessed with what you have here, he doesn't love you any more than he does the man over in India. He loves us all the same. It's just that their courses is different. That's what it is. It doesn't matter about whether you're in the worst swamps or you're on Beacon Hill. The fact of the matter is, God loves us all because of his faithfulness. He's done it all for us.
Yes, he has. Yes, amen.
Glory to God.
And he's the one that gets the glory.
That's right. Amen.
Some of us will be sick.
Thank you.
Some of us will be poor, have nothing. But the fact of the matter is, God loves us. He loves all of us. And whether you understand it or not, or comprehend it, you can't comprehend it because you're dealing with yourself in the flesh. But God knows why he's doing it. Amen? The Bible says, let us be content with whatever our situation is. First, L of 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6 through 8. 6 and 8.
Glory to God. 1 Timothy chapter 6.
Let me get there with you, Elder. You beat me this time. Go ahead, Elder.
1 Timothy chapter 6. Begin with the sixth verse. But is gain great the piety
Amen.
With self-sufficiency. Verse 7. For
Amen.
Nothing we have brought into this world.
Amen.
Because neither to carry out anything can we.
Amen. There's whatever you got. And what? And you know, let me just say this as a sidebar. And myself included. I'm preaching to myself. It's amazing the things that we accumulate for... All right, my wife. We don't need any... It's amazing the things that we accumulate in this life like we're going to be an Egyptian, die a mummy, and take everything to the next life. You're going to leave it all here. Amen. And there's not one person in this room, including my beloved pastor, that has something in their heart that they keep. And we all keep things. And we don't know why we keep them. There's something that moves us. But when we leave here, we're leaving it all. Amen? It doesn't matter what you what it is, you're going to leave it all. And he says, what? Godly contentment is great gain. If I've got Jesus, I don't need anything else. And I'm preaching to myself. Because I got some things that I've been collecting for a long time I need to get rid of. Amen? It's just that we seem to want to be, it just gets in us. It's human nature. But when you got Jesus, That's all you need. If I got the grace of God, which I have, that's all I need. I don't need all of these things that, you know, we get caught up with our houses, our cars, our food, our clothes, stocks and bonds. Will you outlive your money? All of this crazy stuff and everything. Don't you know your money might not even be around? Amen. Now's the accepted time to think about what are you going to do with your life? Amen? Whatever the situation is, therefore, therewith be content. Amen? Don't be envious of what somebody else has got. Because you know what? They're going to die and leave it all too. They're going to die and leave it all too. It doesn't matter. We all are going to kick out of here one day. It is appointed the man wants to die, and after that, the judgment. Paul says, what was it now? He says that my course is finished. Amen?
Hallelujah.
And let's take a look at that. This last is a parting shot. Let's take a look at that. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15, 16 and 17. Let's look at the Ephesians here.
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 5.
Ephesians chapter 5.
Verse 15.
Amen. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. See therefore carefully how you walk.
Carefully how you walk. Go ahead.
Not as unwise, but as wise.
The wisdom of Christ. We have, the Bible says in the 1 Corinthians that we have the mind of Christ. Go ahead.
Redeeming the time.
That's what I want to get to. Redeeming the time.
Because the day's evil.
Hold it right there. Redeeming the time. Buy back as much time as you can by doing what? Studying the Word of God. Getting into the Word of God. Trying to live the right way. And being circumspectly evaluated by others around you. You ought to be able to show that Christ is in you, the hope of glory.
Glory to God.
All of the time that you have on this earth, you need to, and you waste it, you need to try to buy back as much time as you can. Because the time is coming when you can't study anymore. The time is coming when you can't go to church anymore. And while you got the blood running warm through your body, you ought to try to do as much as you can for the Lord while you can. I wish I could talk to somebody today.
Hallelujah.
We just take this thing as too trivial. What God has done for us, we ought to be so happy.
Thank God.
As to be shouting and be graceful and great. All of the things, grace and peace, we ought to just be happy and happy, happy.
Amen.
For what he's done for us. Then, when it's all over, for those that we do these things, Paul says, the crown of righteousness. Not only for me, but those that are loved his appearing.
That's right.
I want to see Jesus one day. I want to see him, and I'm going to see him face to face. That's not being bragging or anything like that, but I know in whom. Well, I'm going to let 2 Timothy chapter 1 and 12, is it? I'm going to close on that. I hope you got something out of the message today.
Amen.
That's it. This is one of my favorite scriptures. Whether it's in the King James or in the Greek. I love this scripture. When people come and tell me, say, well, this and that. But I like what the Apostle Paul says here. It brings tears in my eyes because I know in whom I have believed. Read that, Elder.
2 Timothy chapter 2,
chapter 1 and verse 12.
Amen. For which cause also these things I suffer.
Amen.
But I am not ashamed.
I am not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of Jesus. I invited some people from school out today. They couldn't make it. I invited people to come.
Amen.
I'm just going to preach to who's here.
That's it.
I don't care, because the word is going to go out. Amen. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Go ahead.
For I know whom I have believed.
I know in whom I believe.
And I have been persuaded.
And I have been persuaded.
That able he is.
Amen.
The deposit of me.
Amen.
To God to that day.
Oh, my God. Oh.
Glory to God.
That is one of my favorite scriptures of all time. I know it. And let's look at it from the King James Version. Oh, I love that scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. I'm going to read that, Ella, if you don't mind.
Amen.
For the which cause I suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded. You don't hear me. I am persuaded. What? That he is able to keep that which I have committed to him against that day. What day? The day that I leave this world, I am committed that I'm going to a better place. I don't have to worry about this or that and this or that. I know in whom Christ has called me from the foundation of the world. And I know that he's going to carry me home one day. I don't have to worry about all this other stuff. Whether I was baptized here or tongues there or anything, I know in whom I believe. And I know that he is able to keep that which he has given me. Oh, my God.
Glory to God.
That ought to make you shout, honey. That ought to make you shout. When everything else goes wrong around you, go to that scripture there. My Lord Jesus Christ, my God, I can't say anymore. Except that God loves you.
Thank God.
And we serve such a big God. We said in Bible class Friday that we start talking about all these denominations and all of this crazy mess.
Oh.
And talking about baptism and tongues and all of that mess. When you look out there in space and you see, we were talking about there's billions of galaxies out there. Billions of galaxies. Science don't even know about this, billions, maybe even trillions. And to think that I'm going to be a part of that because I'm in the body of Christ. And wherever Christ goes, that's where I'm going to be.
Glory to God.
That's enough to keep me going, honey. That's enough to keep me. That's enough to make me go on and on and on. That's enough to make me to come to Bible class on Friday, go to the youth home on Friday, and anything else I can do. Because I know one day, I'm going to be there with him. And that's what you got to look at. One of these days, it's all going to be over.
Amen.
Be ready.
Thank
Amen.
God.